Now, Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm your host, Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate Roundtable. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, a boutique firm that is home to over 30 real estate sales and marketing agents who service home buyers and home sellers throughout Boston, the South Shore, the South Coast, and Cape Cod. Our firm takes pride in assisting our clients in the next chapter of their lives by taking a holistic approach to their real estate endeavors. We believe that every move should be a moving experience. Every week, my co-host Melissa Wallace and I will provide you with my team's unique marketing approach to selling homes and share with you our expertise in navigating the home buying process. We value the experience of our agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so much that not only will you hear my perspective on real estate topics, occasionally you will hear the expert thoughts and opinions of our experienced agents at Boston Connect Real Estate. Be a part of our roundtable. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We'd love to talk real estate. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and wherever you like to listen to podcasts at Talk Real Estate Roundtable. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me and my team to discuss your real estate needs, you can connect with me at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And hello to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate Roundtable, brought to you by Boston Connect Real Estate and the McNamara Horton Group. I'm in studio tonight live with Mr. Mark McNamara. Hello, Mr. Mark McNamara.
Hello there.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just
remember that
awesome.
You have to talk into your microphone.
Thank you.
Okay. And do I have Larry? Larry, are you in the studio tonight?
Is this show going to be about plumbing?
I wish it was, Larry.
I'd like a new shower. I'd like a new shower, but it's a nightmare for a project.
Oh, my goodness.
It's an older house built in the 30s, so.
I know. So that's hard to get those pipes, right?
Well, the pipes have all been replaced, but the work that was done replicated what was done in the 1930s, so we say.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I don't think you could just put a new shower into it, you know.
Yeah, that's when plumbers were plumbers back then.
Yeah, so that was when you didn't have to worry about, you know, everything, right, with all, like, the venting and things that. Yeah, so all that fun stuff. So, Larry, it's just the two of me, just the two of us tonight. Well, Melissa is...
old times here.
Yeah, Melissa is out tonight. She isn't feeling great. So I think she ended up with whatever I had for 10 days. I don't know what that was, but it was terrible. Painful, really, really painful. So hopefully she is feeling better soon. And if she's listening tonight, Melissa, hello. I'm trying my best to get everything done the way that you would do it. So I don't know that I'm succeeding or not.
I don't know. Your voice is coming through the microphone, so that part's working really well.
That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad about that for sure. But tonight, Larry, we're going to be talking about the NAR settlement. And I don't know if you've heard anything about it.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing that. I've actually, the last three Saturdays in a row, I've been doing a little series on the NAR, on the whole settlement, and trying to explain it as best as I can to our, you know, listeners. And it's been interesting at best. We've had a lot of good callers and, you know, trying to help everyone understand it. But I haven't done it on a Tuesday night. So
is this a nationwide thing?
It is nationwide, and that's why we're involved in it. So thank you for asking that question. Yeah, so it's the National Association of Realtors is what got the settlement. So NAR, National Association of Realtors. And it really started in Missouri.
It did. Yeah.
Yep. So that's where it started. And, you know, listing agents and... an attorney came up and said, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Seller, do you feel as if you're paying for the buyer's agent? And the person said, well, if you say I'm going to get money out of it, then I'm going to say yes. So that's how that all worked out. And
that's a class action lawsuit. Is that what it is?
It is a class action lawsuit.
So the lawyers are going to benefit mostly.
And that's what's so sad about the whole thing is really it's all about the attorneys and making money. And, hey, I love attorneys. You all know we love all of our attorneys locally. But this is what this has turned out to be. And one of the things that's upsetting, and we've been doing a roundtable in our office every Tuesday. So actually, the settlement happened 3 weeks ago. And 2 weeks before that, I did a roundtable with my agents, just talking about buyer agency agreements, knowing that something was sort of lurking out there, and just, you know, getting my agents prepared and, you know, training, advising, mentoring them. And then, excuse me, after that, I had, I paid somebody to do a course for us, and she was very transparent, and she was sort of a neutral type person. So she gave the class and gave some really good advice. And then that was Tuesday. That Friday, the settlement came out. And then the following Tuesday, I had the MAR, so Massachusetts Association of Realtors, I had their I'm sorry, Larry, that I keep on doing that, but I don't know why I can't get rid of it. sorry about that. We had the attorney on, so one of the counsel and head of education of MAR, Massachusetts Association of Realtors, teach us what was going on, explain to us what was going on with this settlement. We were the first office, real estate office in the state of Massachusetts, to have the MAR attorneys discussing with us what was going on. So that shows you that we're taking it seriously here, and we want our agents to be very much on top of what is going on. We want to make sure that our agents are continuing to do the right thing. We're trying to dissect it all as it's happening to us too. There's so many gray areas with all of this. So with the settlement tomorrow, actually, so the settlement was originally for, I want to say, like $1.1 billion. NAR came to this settlement saying, how about this, $418 million with some conditions. And that's what I'm going to get into tonight, what those conditions are. Real simply, the conditions are you can't put, you can't offer buyer agency compensation through MLS anymore, and you have to have a buyer agent agreement with every buyer that you work with. Okay. So that's that will be a requirement for everybody. Tomorrow, the judges will decide if they're going to accept that settlement or if they're going to say no. And they could potentially say no. They could say, no, you know what? This is for $1.1 billion. We think you should go back to the drawing board, and we're not going to accept it.
That's going to be tomorrow?
That's going to be tomorrow.
So if they don't come to a conclusion tomorrow, could this be delayed?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very good question. It's most certainly could be delayed. So we don't know. Again, that's why all of this is a gray area. But Mark, you've been following along too in the office, you know, with all of the classes and everything. And you heard the attorney from MAR say to us, regardless of how this settlement ends up being, NAR, National Association of Realtors, probably is going to go forward with those conditions anyways. Okay.
Yes.
So that probably will happen. Then last Friday, we also heard in the news that the DOJ is now, they brought to life again another lawsuit that was out there. So during the Trump organization, during his reign, what do you call that? The Trump office when he was in office?
Yes.
During his administration, thank you for that. He actually, you know, pushed it to the side and basically said, we're all done with this. So they previously settled, the DOJ previously settled with the Trump administration. But then when Biden administration came in, they nixed the settlement deal that was out there, and they opted to continue the investigation. So they were only investigating what was going on with this NAR lawsuit. Well, it was blocked, and they weren't able to do that, okay? So Biden was blocked. It said, nope, the lower court has blocked its ability to do so, okay? Now what they're saying is, okay, the Friday court decision ruled that the case being previously closed didn't mean it couldn't be reopened, and they're allowing the DOJ to continue the investigation. Okay, so they reopened it. So now the DOJ is involved in a portion of just doing what they do, is, you know, looking at, hey, was this an antitrust violation? What was going on? Why are people thinking it? So that's where we are with the DOJ. My guess is, this is what I'm guessing, and I could be completely wrong. I'm sort of guessing that tomorrow that the judges who are going to say yes or no to how this settlement is written up, they're my guess is they'll say, no, let's just delay it and let's sort of see what happens with the DOJ and how they're going to bring it forward.
Okay.
So the DOJ, what they're trying to do is they're trying to decouple the commission. So by decoupling the commission, it basically means simply the buyer pays the buyer's agent, the seller pays the seller's agent. Okay. Sometimes you hear seller's agent as the one who sold the house and listing agent, but we're just going to say seller's agent works for the seller, buyer's agent works for the buyer. Okay. Paying attention to all this, Larry? Am I making sense? Because I am trying to make it make some sense for everybody. So tomorrow will be a big day to see what comes out of it. And then we'll have to see where it goes from there. My assumption is, regardless of this, NAR has said that they were going to, I heard from our attorney, from MAR, is that they will potentially or probably will proceed forward with the conditions.
Current changes.
Yeah, exactly, the conditions. And those would go into place in July.
Okay.
So that's what they're saying. So how does this affect home buyers and how does it affect home sellers? So you can see, Mark, how much paper do I have? I have the entire settlement all bounded up here. I have articles. I have so much in front of me. And the reason why I was so passionate about doing this show from the three Saturdays in a row that we did it is there was so much misinformation.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'm really upset about, Mark, is that this didn't happen in Massachusetts. Okay. Now there's a couple other things that are happening. MLS PIN is the MLS that we use locally for the South Shore. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are several other MLSs in the area. Every state has them and they have several. So we have the Cape and Islands have their own MLS. And then out in the Berkshires, they have their own MLS,
Metro
right?
West.
Yeah, Metro. Right. Mm-hmm. It makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the MLSs are owned directly by NAR. The associations are the ones that are owning it and managing those MLSs.
Okay.
So what that means is these lawsuits that happened and the conditions that they're putting on really have nothing to do with our MLS. Okay. MLS PIN has nothing to do with them. They don't have to follow suit with whatever the results are tomorrow or whatever NAR comes out with because they're not owned or operated by NAR or an association. So, but they will. They will follow suit with whatever everybody else is doing. I guarantee everybody's saying that. They already know that. They followed suit with some other things that had happened. What they are saying is they want more transparency in how much agents are getting paid, whether they're a buyer's agent or a seller's agent. And by the way, if you have any questions about this, feel free to call 781-837-4900. Larry is in studio. You can also send us a text and he can read me your question if you don't want to come on. And honestly, I'm being as transparent as I possibly can here. So I don't really care what your question is. We did have a couple callers over the past few Saturdays that sort of had some tough questions they thought were probably tough and sort of, but after I explained it to them, they said, oh, well, that makes sense, right? So that's what I really want to try to do is get the truth out and get questions out that people are hearing and feeling. So with the MLS, I'll get back to that. So our MLS PIN is where we as an agent, when I get a new listing, I put that listing into MLS. From there, there's a field in there that says, how much is the buyer's agent going to be compensated? I have some really beautiful slides that I made, and unfortunately, this is radio, so you can't see them. But I do have some beautiful slides, and one of them shows how it is right now and then what they're potentially asking us to change it to. So the way that it has always worked, and I'm letting you know, and you can call me and we can have a discussion about it. There are several different viewpoints on how this works. It's interesting because all these articles that I'm reading, the New York Post, the prices of houses are going to come down. Wrong. No more 6% commissions. That came from CNN. Wrong. It was never standard commission. It's always been negotiable. Okay. It's always been negotiable. In this office, we have done pro bono. Okay. We are in the process right now as an office doing something pro bono because it is what is best for our client. When you have hardship situations, the moral compass of a boutique real estate really shines. The reason why it shines is because, you know what? Hey, you and I are the corporate level, but I mean, but let's be honest, right? We're not worried about, you know, we're not, there aren't very many layers of democracy that we have to get to the guy at the top.
This is upper management.
This is upper management. Sorry, agents, this is as far as it goes. But that's one of the things that we've all been talking about in the offices. It's really nice that we are a boutique. And it's really nice that all these things that they're talking about that other agents are doing potentially, really, they're not us. They're not our agents. Right. They're not our office. We have done a very good job. We have never once had a grievance against us in 13 years ever, because our agents, we're small, but we're mighty, and we train our agents to do the right thing. And agents are training each other, right? That's why we have roundtables like, hey, what's going on out there? Okay, how do we learn from this? How do we make it better? How do we protect our clients, whether buyer or seller client, from these situations? So that's the hard part, and where my passion is coming out is because the bar is so low to get into this industry. And I am the first one to admit it. You have to take a 40-hour course and you have to pass a test. And that's it. And you are suddenly a real estate agent. And then if you decide to be a realtor and you pay into to be part of that association, you're now a realtor. And go ahead, sell somebody's biggest, you know, life investment that they have, right? The biggest financial purchase that they're going to make. Mm-hmm. I am telling you, I think that the bar is too low. I think it should be changed. I think that better standards should be put in place for agents who are staying in the business. Because if you don't take it seriously and if you don't treat it like a business, then perhaps you shouldn't be in it. Am I going off? I just went off.
A little bit.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry. Mark is staring at me like, you know, like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? For a minute there, I felt like we were in our living room just having a conversation. But Larry, what are some of your thoughts about it? I know you're hearing bits and pieces of it, but do you have any questions or thoughts on this?
Didn't I hear Washington, I think it was the president, that said that this is going to be beneficial to all home buyers?
Yeah. So.
And they're going to be able to save money, and it's something to do with loans and everything. I was like, what? It was a little confused by what I briefly heard. I didn't hear the whole thing. It was kind of like I my head like spun around. I went, what did he just? What?
Yeah. Mr. President, knock, knock, knock. Here's the truth. And again, I'll give the president a little bit of grace. I guess somebody must be writing his. Somebody's writing his speeches, right? So, like, you know, they have a whole groups of people that are helping him decide what he's going to say. Unfortunately, what he said is completely wrong. And NAR came out with a statement immediately the next day saying, Mr. President, we're sorry that this is how you feel, but this is not the actual case. So what he was saying is, it's really about time that we put down the hammer, and real estate agents aren't going to get paid as much as they get paid. They don't deserve it, so to speak. And now it will reduce the prices of houses and home buyers and home sellers. It will be more affordable for home buyers. I don't know who is making these big decisions out there. I really don't know. My suggestion to whoever they are, and I hope that somebody pops onto this one little YouTube video or listens to WATD and says, maybe we should do this. Have a roundtable with the top producing agents in the area and ask them how it's working, because our concerns in the office, we're not saying, oh, but my commission, oh, my salary is going down. Yeah, none of us want to work for free, and I'm letting you know I don't want my agents to work for free. Period. Amen. This is only going to be more difficult for the buyers, because the way that the rules are working, to understand how it is going to be, I want to explain to you how it is. And again, there's two different viewpoints. The viewpoint is how I see it and how I was trained 22 years ago is I go to a listing agreement. And again, I can't talk about commissions or anything like that just because of antitrust violations and all that, even though I'm not having a conversation directly with agents right now. I'm just going to keep it safe. Okay. I'm going to use round numbers that mean nothing. I go to the seller and I say, you want to be the seller? Hi, are you going to hire me? And what's your question going to be?
How much are you going to charge me?
How much are you going to charge me? Okay, this is what I charge. I am going to charge you this amount, this percentage of the net sale price of your home. Okay, it's always been that.
Yep.
Up markets, down markets, in between markets. Real estate agents are not the ones that are increasing the I have been saying for 3 years, this market is reckless. We need more inventory, and somebody at the top has to find out a way to get it. I sit on affordable housing committee for the town of Pembroke. We need more affordable houses. The reason why we're seeing multiple offers, Trisha and Nick Flynn, full-time real estate agents here at Boston Connect Real Estate, put in an offer on a property for their buyers this weekend, 30 offers on one property.
Wow.
$130,000 over asking. $130,000 over asking. My question is, this is what they're sort of pretending. Well, your agent is making you pay more, so the agent will make more money. Shut up. That is not true. That is not true. And if you feel as if you're working with an agent who's representing you that way, then guess what? It's time for you to get a new agent, okay? We show properties based on what is best for our clients, okay? I know that for sure coming out of Boston Connect Real Estate and as the broker owner of this company. I am sure of that. But the reason why 30 people were willing to go over asking price on this house, and no, I don't want to hear, it was probably underpriced. No, it wasn't. It was priced according to the comps. The reason why buyers felt the need to go $130,000 over is because there is no other inventory and they need housing. So was it a small, you know, first time home buyer that is fighting for this? Is it somebody who's maybe had their second baby and they need more room? Is it somebody who was relocating to the area and they needed new house? Like, there are so many reasons why people are buying a house, right? That's where the recklessness is. The recklessness is there isn't enough for our buyers to choose from, so they are overbidding and overpaying for these houses. And it's not the agent suggesting it. It's just like, put your best foot forward, because I can't gauge emotional value. If a house is on the market for $500,000, I can tell you that by numbers and facts and what data shows me, right? I'm really, really good at that. You know I'm good at that. I am really good at that. Hey, this is where I can tell you that I think the value of your house is, and this is the value I think the house is that you want to buy, right? I do it on both sides, when I'm a buyer's agent or when I'm a seller's agent. But when I get you to that house and I find out that there are 30 offers on one house, the only person who can gauge how badly they want that house is the person buying it. That's called emotional value. And I don't have a compass for that. I don't have a gauge for that. There's nothing I can do, right, to help you come up with that number. By doing what they're doing, okay, so we're going back to this. So you're the listing, I'm the listing agent. Okay, so you're going to agree to give me this percentage of the sale price.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to let you know that this is our contract, Mr. Seller. In Massachusetts forms, I will tell you, are very ironclad. They are put together the correct way. What happened in Montana, I have no idea. I don't live there, right? So our forms would say, all of our listings say, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you said that you were willing to pay me this amount. This is part I don't say out loud. Not that I feel the need that I have to tell you where I'm going to spend my money. Our forms want me to tell you where my money is going. Okay. Mm-hmm. So once you pay me that amount, I'm letting you know through MLS, I am going to offer compensation to a buyer's agent.
Okay.
Okay. And because I value buyer's agents so much, Mr. Seller, and because I see what they bring to the table, and because I see they take away half of any type of liability if anything should go wrong, I give them half of what you're giving me.
Okay.
Because that's how much I value them. Okay. So now I go through. So now the listing contract is between the seller and me. When after the closing, I take that money and I pay the buyer's agent's brokerage through MLS. I have a contract with MLS. This is where one of the problems came up. Okay. They are saying that part of the antitrust violation is through the MLSs, because I, as an agent, can't put your listing in MLS unless I'm willing to compensate a buyer's agent. That's part of our participation agreement. So my participation agreement with MLS says If you want to list your client's property in here, so your client, where MLS is the hub, it gets syndicated to all the other websites like Zillow and Trulia, Realtor.com, BostonConnect.com, all the websites. It goes through MLS. If you want to participate and be part of MLS and give your seller client the best advantage to get the most amount of eyes on it, we are forcing you to pay a buyer's agent. That's why I have to give away half of my compensation.
Okay.
Okay. So that's going to go away. That's what the proposal is, that it will go away in July. No more will I be able to compensate a buyer's agent through there. Okay. I want to tell you what the other side of this looks like. Does that make all sense to you, how that works?
Yes.
Okay. You pay me, I pay them. If I went to the bar and we had dinner sitting at the table and, you know, we sat and had a nice meal, couple of drinks, came to a couple $100, we give them a couple $100. We don't ask them, hey, do you have to tip the bar back? We don't ask them what they're going to do with the money.
Right.
It's theirs.
It's none of our business.
It's none of our business, right? Similar. Some people are saying, and again, you can read every single article and you're going to get a different answer. And that's why it's making it so confusing, not only for you, but for real estate agents out there. Some people feel as if the way that it works is, well, it's the buyer that's really bringing the money to the table. It's the buyer that's actually paying the compensation because they're the ones getting the loan. They're the ones that are paying, giving the money to the seller. So now the buyers think that they're paying the seller's agent. The sellers think they're paying the buyer's agent. It's just a convoluted mess, and I don't even know how it got here. Mm-hmm. Well, I do know how it got here. I've been talking about it for 6 weeks. So that's how other people are looking at it. I disagree with that. Again, the buyer is buying the house, but once they give the money to the seller for the house, what the seller does with that money is up to the seller.
Right.
Right. The buyer isn't giving the money to the seller and saying, OK, now I expect you to pay my buyer's agent, or now I expect you to pay your seller's agent. They're just saying, hey, I'm paying for the house. Here you go. $500,000 for the house. I got a loan for $480,000. There's your money. Right. So then the seller takes the money, pays the buyer, the seller's agent. The seller's agent, because of their cooperation through MLS, pays them.
OK.
What they want to change is, and the DOJ wants to do this, is the decoupling of that happening. Of me, well, again, I'm not even going to go down that road because one of the things I read said that can actually still happen. Why they think it's not happening now, I have no idea. Again, it has to do with somebody else's forms because I can't make sense of it in my own mind. Okay. What they're saying is the buyer has to pay the buyer's agent directly and the seller has to pay the seller agent directly.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So with that.
Good luck.
Exactly. So this is the part that's really upsetting to us, is because people like sellers are out there saying, or, you know, CNN, no more 6%. And I'm only saying that because that's what CNN said. No more 6% commission, which is fine that they're saying what they think that they're saying, but they're wrong. Right. It's not, it was never standardized. It was always negotiable. I mean, people have negotiated. Like I said, we're in the middle of doing something pro bono right now, right? Like, so always had the opportunity to negotiate. So now what's going to happen is every buyer who's buying a house, we have to have a contract with. So it's a buyer agency agreement. And in that agreement, we have to sit down with the buyer and we have to say, hey, I'm going to work for you, and you don't expect me to work for free, I'm hoping. And what we're going to do is I'm going to charge you this amount of the sale price for whatever type of house that you buy. Okay. So let's just say that the person buys, I'm just making up numbers, they buy a $400,000 house and it's a $10,000 commission. Okay. That buyer would be responsible to pay the buyer's agent that amount of money. The problem is going to lie here. Will they be able to finance it? The answer is no, because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have already said that they're not going to allow that to be added. Will they change their minds? Who knows? I don't know. That's not my rodeo. I don't know how that will work. But think about when a buyer has to buy a house, a $400,000 house.
Well, I'm guessing a large majority don't have the money for down payment and to pay someone to help them look find a house.
Exactly. So it will be their down payment. Now, if they've been saving and saving and they want to put 20% down so they don't have PMI, well, let's just even say that they saved 5%. And now let's talk about closing costs, right? So now you have your down payment, you have your closing costs for a $400,000 house. I mean, if there are any loan officers out there, feel free to call in because I'm just going to make up a number, $8,000, right? Mm-hmm. It's up to 3% of your loan, right? And then from there, you're supposed to pay your buyer's agent. But oh, guess what? If you want to have a home inspection, okay,
yep,
that's going to cost you money. If you want to have a radon inspection, let's add that. Oh, your house was built before 1978. Let's add that. What I see is it is going to be impossible for people to buy a house. And I don't think that anybody expects anybody to work for free. And the fact that they think, well, you've been like real estate agents make too much money and all this other stuff. Well, the cost of doing business is grand, right? So for my agents, right? And I treat myself like an agent at Boston Connect Real Estate. Guess what? We're on a split with the company. Mary and I are on a split with the company. When we have a sale, we have to give a portion of that back to Boston Connect, right? Yeah, you could say, Sharon, but you own Boston Connect. Yeah, I also have to pay the bills, mm-hmm. You know? I had somebody in here cleaning the fish tank today. I had somebody here who had to do the lawn this past weekend. You know, I mean,
building taxes, upkeep.
Oh, everything. I mean, it's lights. Just lights. I mean, $10,000 for Office 365 so I can have the best programs for my agents, right? That's just one of the programs. E&O insurance. Oh, P.S. You have to, we're an LLC, so we have to do, you know, we have to record with the state every year. So there are a lot of those things that are going on. One fortunate thing for us is that, you know, we purchased this building in 2019, but with the rent that my for less square footage than we're in right now would have been a lot more. He wanted over $5,000 a month for rent. Mm-hmm. So, and rent keeps on going up. So those numbers don't stop, right? And the agents, that's what they are faced with. You know, they're trying to feed their families. If you have any questions, 781-294. Nope, that's my cell number. But hey, if you want to send me a text, 781-294-4848. And if you want to call into the studio, Larry is at the studio, 781-837-4900, 781-837-4900. You can also text him if you have any questions. So feel free to text him any questions you may have, because I'd love to get your feedback on this. I truly do. Do you have any questions for me?
So are the buyers, they're going to have a hard time with finding someone to represent them?
Well, that's one of the concerns that we have here in the office is, you know, how do we sit down? This was the topic today in the office was, how do we sit down with our like little first-time home buyers or somebody who recently went through a divorce or somebody who had another like health issue in a situation where, you know, they went through their savings. Mm-hmm. How are they going to have enough money to just, you know, some of our clients are just getting enough money together to purchase the house, but then to pay us, I think that, you know, how are they going to do that? They won't have the money. They won't be able to do that. So now are they going to be walking around unrepresented? Because, you know, a lot of times people will say, oh, I'm going to go directly to the listing agent. And I think that their mindset is if I go directly to the listing agent is getting, quote unquote, both sides. So that way there, maybe I'll be able to get a deal, mm-hmm. or maybe my offer will be accepted. It doesn't work that way. It's always the buyer always thinks it's their money that they're saving and the seller thinks it's money that you're saving for them. So it doesn't work that way. Now with sellers, this is what's going to be your decision. Your decision is, do you want to still offer compensation to buyer's agents because you see and recognize their value? And will that bring and open up bigger, you know, a bigger pool of potential buyers? Because, you know, buyers who do want to work with buyer's agents and don't have any other way to do that, to pay them, right? If you can't add it onto your price, if you can't, you know, could you do a seller concession? So the house is on the market for $400,000 and hey, Mr. Seller, I'm going to offer you $410,000, but I want you to give a $10,000 concession back. and that's going to be considered a concession. It cannot be called a commission or compensation. It would have to be, you're going to pay for my closing costs. So the money that you have saved as a buyer for closing costs, you would be using to pay compensation for your buyer's agent. It's a lot, right?
A mess.
It's a mess. It's just so messy. And I always, you know, we had these roundtables, and I'll tell you, the idea, a lot of these ideas I'm sharing with you right now came from my agents. One thing that, like Trish Flynn said, you know, she's the one that said, hey, I value buyer's agents so much that I was willing to give away half of my compensation to them. Nick Flynn said, the commission has always been, and the compensation has always been sort of embedded in the sale price already. Was it being paid by the buyer or the seller? Does it really even matter at the end of the day, because it was embedded in there and everybody was getting paid, right? Mm-hmm. And nothing was hidden. It was transparent, you know? The other thing that they said, and the reason why they want to take out how much you're getting paid in being compensated in MLS, is because some people were thinking that agents, buyer's agents, were steering their clients. So do you know what I mean by that?
Say that again.
Okay. They were afraid that if they couldn't see how much a buyer's agent was getting paid, that the buyer's agent was picking and choosing houses, basically.
I could see that, yeah.
So staring.
They were staring in a direction that would favor them.
Exactly. So that's what they were afraid of. Again, mm-hmm. If you feel that way about your agent, you just have this icky feeling about it, I'm letting you know you're working with the wrong agent.
Right.
You should never feel that way. And I could tell you, for the most part, all the agents I know, whether they're in my office or in other offices on the South Shore, and several of the agents that I have worked with throughout my career, I would tell you that the majority of us do not think that way. Why it's out there, are there a couple bad seeds that maybe potentially have done that? I don't know. I would hope not. I mean, I also sit on the grievance committee for the State of Massachusetts Association of Realtors. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of grievances and things like that. I would hate to think, you know, hey, I don't abide by the code of ethics of the National Association of Realtors because they tell me to. I abide by them because that's who I am.
Right.
Right. I don't follow the Ten Commandments because, you know, Moses carried some tablets up a hill. Like, I just choose not to. Thou shalt not kill.
Right.
Thou shalt not steal. Right. I just choose to do those things because that's my moral compass. So with all of this, you know, the sellers are going to have a choice. You can still, I want you to know, you can still cooperate and pay a buyer's agent if a buyer agent comes to you. And I do want you to know, to all of my sellers out there, is chances are the buyer's agent is going to ask you to cooperate. Now, Trish and Nick were out looking at houses this past weekend with their client, and one of the houses that they were showing, right up the street from the one they put the offer on, was offering $1.
Well,
$1. You're telling me that the value of a buyer agent who's driving around submitting possibly
multiple
offers for one client, because there is no inventory.
Spending weekends,
taking time away from their boys, you know, finding babysitters, doing all that. You're telling me that their value is $1.
It's disgusting.
So Nick called and said, hey, I noticed that you're offering $1 for compensation. I'm just curious, is your seller still considering compensating a buyer's agent if we bring them a buyer, because we have to figure it out beforehand, right? And the response was, well, if you write up an offer, you can negotiate. So you can negotiate for your own commission.
Okay.
So again, if that's the way it's going to be, that's fine. I just think that sellers should keep in their head, when you're figuring out your net sheet and, you know, what you're going to end up with at the end of the day, perhaps put that percentage in there. So sort of as a buffer for yourself, because I know that people are going to ask for that. And maybe all the conditions will be great, you right. know, but other than the fact that the buyer cannot pay for it. The thing that is bothersome to me is, for our veterans is because, you know, with a VA loan, the veteran is not allowed to pay for anything out of pocket. They can't even pay for their own termite inspection.
Right.
Right. So they won't be able to do this. So that's why I feel like maybe they will. Like, I feel like this came fast and furious, even though it's been a couple of few years. I just don't know that the dust. I feel like they brought it out. Real estate agents, NAR, realtors found out after the press release was already out there. Like, the association didn't even tell us first.
It came to a head before they even figured it out.
Yeah, or really thought about the consequences.
Right.
And that's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the consequences for buyers not being able to purchase a home, the consequences for veterans who are not going to be able to use their veteran loans that, you know, the you know, it's a benefit that they earned and deserve. They won't be able to use that. So our adjustment's going to have to be made for that. And then here's this whole other thing. The example I gave earlier. Okay, the house is $400,000, $10,000 commission. Again, these are just made up numbers. Okay. Okay. So now the sale price is $410,000. The seller is going to contribute $10,000 towards the seller, the buyer's closing costs, prepaids and interest and all that. So the seller will ultimately net the $400,000 again, right? Because $10,000 is going really back to the buyer, right? Do you understand that?
So it was $400,000 house.
Yeah, it was a $400,000 house. Okay. The seller, the buyer said, "Mr. Seller, I'll offer you $410,000.
Okay.
But I'm asking you for a $10,000 concession.
I getcha.
And with your concession, that's going to pay for my prepaids, my insurance, and escrows.
Okay.
So what they'll do is then if they do have money saved, they can pay the commission separately. But then from that, what if the house appraises at 405?
It's not going to go through.
Yeah, that's what I mean. These are like pretty simple questions, and I don't know why. It just seems it's baffling me. The whole thing is just baffling me. I'm surprised we didn't get any callers tonight. On Saturdays, my Saturday callers, they are all over this. 781-837-4900. If you have any questions for me, please give us a call. We have a few minutes left. So the sellers are going to have that option that they can still consider to do that. And, you know, hey, I know everybody, my job as a listing agent really is my fiduciary responsibility is to my seller. Like, I understand if you feel, but my worry is that, you know, people are going to get the wrong information from the news or people who are not following this as in depth as we are, that they're going to be like, no, hey, that's the thing. Now I only have to pay half the commission because you're not paying half to somebody else or, you know, whatever. We're going to see a lot of unrepresented buyers. And this is another concern I have is, one, I don't think that anybody should have to go unrepresented. This is the biggest purchase of anybody's life, probably.
Yeah, 100%.
And Mark, you and I, we got screwed by a builder.
Yeah.
I was 24 years old. You were 29 years old, right?
Yeah.
We gave, by we, I mean you, gave a builder $13,000 to build us a home. We planned our wedding. We were paying for our own wedding. And lo and behold, the builder disappeared. We had no place to go but a wedding planned, and we were bought the house, right? We couldn't buy that house. So we ended up moving in with Nana and Papa, and we saved for 3 months. It can easily happen. It's probably why I'm as passionate as I am for people and protecting them the way I do. I get this baby, you know, mama bear syndrome. Were you going to say something?
Well, it's just hopefully this court case is tomorrow, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's hopefully they can figure it out and make whatever necessary adjustments. And this.
I think if anything, it will be, you know, postponed.
Yeah.
The decision will be postponed, or they just won't accept it.
Until they can figure it out.
Yeah. Go back to the drawing board and figure it out. And again, my passion is not coming from, oh my gosh, how am I going to get paid? My passion is coming from, we're going to have a whole lot of people who are not going to be able to buy a house. And I think that that's awful. And by the president saying, and again, his team saying, oh, this is going to help open up more housing for buyers. It's going to make prices lower. No, What this will do is you're going to have a whole bunch of buyers who are not going to be able to buy a house.
And not represented.
And unrepresented, making mistakes. Who's covering that liability? Is that liability isn't falling back on me as the listing agent. It's going to fall back on the seller, right? The seller's going to have that risk. But the seller also, you're probably going to have less offers. You end up getting more money when you have more offers because that's just the way that it's been working. So all of this muck is just a muck. You know what I mean? So that's where I am anyways with all of it. And I'm just hoping, you know, again, the unfortunate part about this is it isn't going to, what I was going to say to finish that sentence is it isn't going to make prices lower for buyers. It is not. What it's going to do is put, it's going to make investors be the ones who are being able to buy more properties because they're going to be the ones that can't afford to pay the buyer's agent or can't afford other avenues of not or feel comfortable not going in represented, right? So that's what's going to end up happening. We're just going to have more investors buying more houses, putting on more rentals, increasing the price for rentals because the buyers who can't buy now have to rent. Oh, guess what? More renters, rents go up higher. It's a vicious cycle. I don't know what it's all about, but if anyone wants to have a roundtable out there with me, I would love to do it because you are listening to Talk Real Estate Roundtable, and I really appreciate your time. Also, I meant to mention, if you did get this postcard, you know, because when there's a class action lawsuit, you get this big loss postcard in the mail, and if you have any questions about that, please feel free to call me, 781-294-4848. Any other questions about this topic? I did 3 shows on it. You can go onto our YouTube channel and you can watch all 3 of those shows or onto our podcast, Talk Real Estate Roundtable. And you can go to talkrealestateroundtable.com. Find us on Instagram, everywhere else, Facebook, bostonconnect.com. Larry, so much for your time tonight. I appreciate all of you. Have a great night. We'll be here on Saturday. It will be me and Mel. Not sure what the topic is yet, but tune in. We'll be here from 8 to 9 a.m. Bye, Larry.
Bye.